Previously on Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast.
I wish I had the energy to rake up enough leaves for my big ass to jump into.
I feel the earth move under my feet. I feel the sky tumbling down, tumbling. Oh no, wait, that's just the approach of Cliff and Kendall.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall and all the friends are here and ready to go. And now that you, the listener, are here, we're ready to start the show.
Hey, Cliff!
Oh!
Sexism.
Don't say that dirty word to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Bitch, we're Cliff and Kendall. This is a show where we are telling you how much we hate that old S word that Kendall's been saying, that S-E-X-I-S-E.
It's a terrible, awful thing.
What a terrible, awful thing.
You see a lot in Busheltown.
What a terrible, awful thing.
What a terrible, horrible, awful thing.
Yeah.
That phrase was coined back in 1965, Cliff. Do you know that?
Are you kidding me? Now, when did Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn think of that? How'd she come up with that one?
Somebody beat her to it, Cliff.
Oh, no.
Pauline Leet did. At a student-faculty forum, of all things.
Wonder what the first ism. Were they already talking about racism back then?
Yes.
I know it was rampant, but did they call it that?
Yeah, she said something, like somebody asked her a question about racism, and she was like, well, just saying like racism, I could say sexism to you, and that's where it all came from. All
right. Well, thank God for her.
That we have a term to think about it now.
And thank God for all of the women of the world.
Yes, let's raise them high, Cliff.
Let's hear it for the girls.
Let's give the girls a chance. I always thought it was a hand.
Maybe it is.
Oh. Let's give the girls a hand.
I always thought it was, let's give them a ham.
But that's just because we're fat.
Maybe that's just wishful thinking on my part, Kendall. But you know what I hate is sexism.
I do. I hate it.
And Kendall, let me, one way that I hate it.
Uh-huh.
Maybe the way that I hate it the most. Because this is the way it affects me the most. And we all know that what we really want to know about is how sexism affects me. So
that's what all the listeners think.
They're like, but how does this affect Cliff?
Whoa, Kendall, shut up. Let's find out how Cliff.
Shut it, Kendall. The listeners are definitely thinking that. You have read their minds. This is not even a Halloween mind reading episode. This is just a regular one. Okay, but how I hate it the most is because when I think of the 90s, in the 2000s, and the nows, I think, you know what's wrong with the world? Is that every single one of those years, there was not a Bette Midler movie to come out at the theater and make $100 million.
That's the problem.
That's a goddamn crying shame, Kendall. There were maybe, like, since 1990, we'll say, what has there been, like, 8 Bette Midler movies? 8 in 25 years? Are you f***ing kidding me? And we have to put up with Liam Neeson every 2 months? He's kidnapping somebody else or doing whatever the hell he does? I don't care because I don't see those stupid movies. If Bette Midler was saving somebody who was kidnapped, I'd be there, bitch.
Taking 14 in theaters this summer.
And meanwhile, we can't get a Hocus Pocus sequel.
I know, we've been fighting for that for 20 years.
Bette wants to do it. Kathy and Jimmy wants to do it. Sarah Jessica Parker said, hey, I'm not too good. Sex in the City, I'll do it. And yet Disney, what's up?
What's up? They know they want to make some other stupid, like, young kid stupid thing, you know?
Some young kid stupid thing. That's the genre they've chosen to work in. But can I stop sexism for just a minute?
Yes.
Let me stop sexism for just a minute. I'm just stopping sexism, okay? You know, it was my birthday just a few weeks ago.
Yes, we know.
Here on the show.
We've all heard about it for weeks.
People hardly would notice from what little fanfare it got on the episode. But
plenty of fanfare.
Tell me if this happens to you. Every year on my birthday, I try, and I usually think that I find one, a gift that's from, like, I think of it as being from the Tao. You might think of it as being from Christ on the cross. But like a gift from the universe, you know?
I usually can stop and recognize what it is.
And I got one.
What'd you get?
Kendall, smack to your face. I got one. All right, first I thought it was going to be the gift that my life is more like a sitcom and not like a nightly drama. You know, some of those people, some people we know, their lives are like nightly dramas.
Uh-huh.
And every time you see them, some horrible tragedy has befallen them. But no, at first I thought it was going to be like a sitcom burst of irony, because on my birthday, only one person called me on the phone. I got lots of wonderful texts, wonderful wishes from people on the street and at the library and stuff like that, but only one person got me on the phone. And it's Crockpot, and she was just trying to, she was looking for Mr. Snodbottom's cell phone number, that's all it was. She didn't even know it was my birthday. So I thought, is this irony that all day long I've been waiting for wonderful birthday calls, and I only get one who doesn't know it's my birthday? And so I thought, well, good one, universe. Way to stick it to me, I'm 34. But I thought, well, that's kind of funny, and it's not really anything. So
I thought you got some wonderful gifts from the universe.
I did, it's coming. That's what I thought it was. That was just the booby prize. Next day, day after my birthday, all, and you know this from, I think, last week on the show when we were reacting to Instagram. All over Instagram, all I see are these photos of wonderful, happy fans at the Madonna Rebel Heart Tour. That's all that's on there. I see her doing poses. She's striking a pose. She's La Isla Bonita, and she's iconic in the cage at the beginning.
Oh, my God.
So I was feeling so terrible, so down, so low as a 34-year-old. I thought, universe, you cannot keep me from seeing this tour. I'm a rebel heart. I'm living for love. I will not be kept from seeing Madonna, okay?
I yelled that at Mr. Snodbottom all morning long.
Yeah, it was really bothering me. So I thought, I'll go online, and I thought, maybe I can get a ticket, because she's coming to Downsville. I thought I could drive up to Downsville, even though it's hours and hours away. I thought I could go there, sit in the rafters, and just be there, you know? And and I would feel good just being
there. Just stand outside the building. Now she's inside.
I need to be inside. It would just be too frustrating.
How long would you wait?
It'd be frustrating. It'd be frustrating to stand outside. But to be just to be inside the room, right? Sorry for that brief intermission. But
now
back to the story. So I thought, okay, let me see if there's any tickets left in Downsville. And I went on. Kendall, I have never had a moment in my life where I thought, some mother better pinch me, because this has got to be a dream. Ticketmaster. I could not believe it. It gave a date. She's coming to Smackover. Kendall. She's coming to Smackover in January. And what it said was that tickets were going to go on sale 2 days from then. What if I hadn't had the thought to go to Downsville? What if it had happened and I couldn't have been online to get my ticket? I couldn't. It was like my head exploded.
The clouds parted and a light shone down just above the fish hatchery.
It did. And after some creative financial maneuvering.
Which we are not allowed to talk about on the air.
We just won't mention all those maxed out credit cards. It's not on the air. We won't do it to bring this show down. No. But anyway, after some creative maneuvers on my part, I got a ticket. I'm going in January. I can't believe it. So that lets me know.
I think I heard you yelling down the street.
You probably did. And that lets me know at 34, believe it or not, good things can still happen in the world. And speaking
the
of
Dow is still working for
it's
you.
It's still out. And so, but it lets me know that good things are still coming. But anyway, I couldn't believe it. Sorry for that 90-minute
soliloquy. Okay. You always said if you ever had a Madonna emergency, you'd have to stop the show and have a 90-minute break.
I would have to have a 90-minute break. So, sorry about that. But she is facing rampant sexism. Also, ageism. Because who is going to tell, George Clooney, you can't dress like that.
I was going to say, they never talk about anybody
but the man. You can't act like that. Yeah. No, nobody says that to a man. But to her, she ought to know how to behave, 57-year-old woman. Fuck you! That's why she moons people on the Grammy carpet.
They're old men still marrying, 12-year-olds.
All right, Kendall, sorry about that. That's enough about me.
Enough said.
And the first segment is...
Don't quote me about sexism.
Kendall, just don't quote me about this.
I won't. All right.
If you could just do me one favor.
I got something for you. Here we go.
Don't quote me about this. Yeah.
And I just want you to know that every time we've ever played this game,
you thought
it
was fill in the blank.
I thought it was fill in the blank.
I was about to say, now remember, this is not fill in the blank.
And I corrected my mistake when I got the letter from the writers. But I did it first. I was taking out stuff, and I was like, there's the blank right there.
Oh, man.
Nobody will ever win the battle of the sexes. There is too much fraternizing with the enemy.
It sounds like Betty Davis.
No, Henry King. Kissinger.
Oh, the Betty Davis of his time.
His time.
Kendall, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle.
Joan Rivers.
Oh, Joan Rivers over time. Gloria Steinem.
One and the same.
One and the same.
Married with Children was racy. It was sexist. It was a lot of things, but mostly it was funny.
Is it Katie Sagal?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I like that one had a clue in it.
Boom. Boom.
Kendall, if divorce has increased by 1,000%, don't blame the women's movement. Blame the obsolete sex roles on which our marriages were based.
Oh, that's some truth speaking
that's
right there.
That's some truth. She was spitting some truth.
Oh, who would have spit that much truth?
Who would have done it? Who done it?
Who done it? Joan, or Jane Fonda.
Oh, don't quote her about this, Kendall. Damn, that was Betty Friedan.
Oh, Betty Friedan.
Betty Friedan, author of The Feminine Mystique.
Oh, what a wonderful book.
Why don't you go out and pick that one up at your local libraries.
Hanky's Books and Bates got it on sale.
Fellow sexism haters.
The irony is that the more unapologetically sexist men are in movies, the more women tend to be attracted to them in person. Ugh. Jon Favreau said that.
He did. Was that said by Jon Favreau?
Jon Favreau.
You know, I want to remind you, this is not the end of the show where we're doing quotes. This is a game where I'm supposed to guess who says the quote.
Well, I needed one thing to mess up on this segment.
So cocky about making all your mistakes go away. Then you just forget that the show isn't over yet. Kendall, now look. A lot of people come up here and they thank Jesus for this award. I want you to know that no one had less to do with this award than Jesus. He didn't help me a bit. If it was up to him, Caesar Milan would be up here with that damn dog. So all I can say is, suck it, Jesus. This award is my God now.
Kathy Griffin.
That was Our Lady of Broadcast Comedians.
I got one.
Oh, I love it. That really is, like, that shows you why two fat people a long time ago used to do a fan cast for her.
Moments like that.
That makes me love her all the more. Mm-hmm. Hearing it again.
Well, Cliff, I'm no longer quoting you. I don't know if you got any more quotes for me.
I got some more quotes for you, kid. Don't quote them about this. I just hate sexism so much I have to share them.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Listen, everyone is entitled to my opinion.
Roseanne Barr.
Bitch, she's Madonna. That was Madonna.
Oh, Madonna.
All right, one more before the break. Mm-hmm. The thing women have yet to learn is nobody gives you power. You just take it. Right after that, she said, I'm not going to buy a vacuum cleaner until Sears makes one you can ride on.
I got my questions mixed. That one was Roseanne Barr.
You got your lines mixed up. That one was Roseanne Barr. All right, Kendall, I've got to take a break. All this sexism is weighing me down.
Oh, me too. Or it's just fat. One of the two.
One or the two.
Well, we'll be right back after this.
Don't touch that dial. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after this.
If your chip pan catches fire, don't panic. Just follow these instructions. 1. Turn off the heat. 2. Run a cloth under a tap and wring it out. 3. Cover the pan and then wait until it's cooled right down. Don't try and move the pan, and whatever you do, don't throw water over the fire. The effects can be devastating.
You're listening to
Rise 99.
What a great break. But I'm glad we're back. Back for more, just like Cliff and Kendall.
Welcome back. All right, Kendall, I know that you have a stack of stuff there you want to talk about, but I promised Mrs. Potter Butter Butterturn she could come in here and talk to us a little bit about sexism.
All right. Did you?
And there, let's see, there she's coming down the hall. Yeah, we're in here. Yeah, we're already started.
Oh, it's okay. Come on in.
Just come on in.
dear, I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt, dear.
Good luck, dear.
Oh, thank you, dear.
All right.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here, dear, and talk about sexism. You know, it's one of the subjects near and dear to my heart.
I know.
I know. Well, you've been through so much yourself. Growing up in Busheltown in the years of before women were allowed to vote, dear, it was a tough time being alive.
And a lot of people don't know, in Busheltown, back when you were growing up, men and women had to use different water fountains.
Well, of course, dear. Of course, you would never want to drink out of a fountain where a man a drink.
Oh. They just thought that was like the height of impropriety.
Yeah.
Was for a woman to drink from a man's water fountain.
Well, dear, there were so many things. That was only one of the terrible things that Busheltown did in those terrible days. But luckily, things have changed since then.
I know. I remember you were part of the big sit-ins at the all-man's golf club.
Back in the
70s.
Yes, of course, dear. Someone had to do that. People were just treating women like filth there, dear. It was not right.
I couldn't believe when I heard you telling me about the golf clubs that only men could go to, no women. They kept them out. They, you know, checked people's gender at the door. And I just couldn't believe it. And you and all the other women, your friends, you went and you sat on the golf course. You sat right on the holes so nobody could get a ball in the hole.
Dear, I have so many bruises from that day still, dear. Balls would hit me in the head.
Well, I just want to say it is just an honor to have you in here sharing these historic stories with us.
You are such a major part of Busheltown and such a strong, wonderful woman.
Such a strong, wonderful...
Please, you're making me blush.
What an incredible female role model. Funky, your two-year-old daughter, is so lucky to have a woman like you.
Now, dear, please, you're going to make me cry, dear. It's not proper etiquette for a lady to cry on the radio.
I just thank you so much.
Well, of course, dear.
Much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn.
Thank you. All right, so you got to get it back out there to Mr. Snodbottom right here.
Oh, yes, dear. He's falling asleep. I can see it now.
What?
Dear, please, wake up, dear. We're doing
wake
a
up.
Show, dear.
There it comes.
Oh, okay, dear. Well, thank you so much, dear. I'll see you later, boy.
Oh, my.
Mr. Snodbottom, please, wake up, dear.
Oh,
my goodness.
All right.
I love her.
Don't you love her?
I just do. I love hearing her voice. She's so wonderful.
I just love her. Me, yeah, all the same. Same here.
Good. I'm glad we agree on that, Cliff.
Same.
Can we move on to something more
here?
More important now.
Yes, Kendall. I have one question.
Uh-oh. What is it?
Do you have a minute?
For what? Food?
For some media! Oh, okay. Sure. I got a minute.
Just about a minute.
Oh.
But then the next minute, I'm going to need some food. It's time for good.
Media minute.
All right, Kendall. It's been a wild week in the media.
Oh, has it?
This witch
is
crazy.
What is going on?
Well, let me tell you. Today, I came home from the library.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even go into the fact that Comcast eliminated one of my only 5 channels that I have.
What?
They just took it away. Yet my bill just skyrockets to the roof. That's neither here nor there. But I came home today from the library, and I turned on. I thought, you know what?
I wonder why those hard drives are stuck in the wall.
I know. Why have I been so angry? It's being 34, maybe. I hope not. I really hope not.
Uh-huh. Because you got some more time to...
Sidetrack, I have become one of those people who just doesn't feel good until you cuss somebody out. And I don't want to be that person. But anyway, more on that later, maybe, if I remember. Good luck. But this was, I came home today, started this 8 minutes ago.
Normal.
No media yet, but it's coming. I thought, I'm going to just relax, have a little fun today, and watch Ellen. Lo and behold, she is preempted by what? Not another tornado warning, which I feel like just scroll that shit on the bottom of the screen, frankly. Then why? Why? Why is this news? The Pope was in his bubble, strolling down the street or whatever. The Pope-mobile in America. The dingbats at the news station said, hey, you know what's more important than Ellen? The Pope in a car going down the street.
Didn't they ever hear our song?
Take that, Pope.
Well,
I don't know.
They were talking today, I heard on the radio, they were talking about how, on KBSH, how they were covering people that were building his chair. Like the Pope's chair, because people just want coverage of anything, and they're like, "Well, what could we cover? Because why just watch him drive down the street, or we can watch these people make a seat?" And they just it's continual coverage, and I'd rather watch my shows, my stories.
Well, it's just because they have these hours to fill,
and
they have to resort to crummy filler programs.
Mm-hmm.
And not that we know anything about that.
No.
Speaking of, if you're listening live, this is Rye 99 in Busheltown. That's KBSH, and it is 4:20 something in the morning. I can't
see
the
4:20.
Kendall, I can't see the clock. It's over there behind your head.
Yeah.
4:20 something. But anyway, Kendall, they preempted Ellen for the dang Pope, and I just couldn't believe it. That's one bit of media for you. Here's another. Now, tell me this. Okay, I see all these headlines that say, oh, Stephen Colbert and had Donald Trump on the show.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, and, you know, they were polite, and he was nice. And here's the thing. I am for politeness and niceness and congeniality. Okay? I am. I just feel like if anybody brings Donald Trump on and treats him seriously, they are doing a terrible disservice to the world.
Yep.
Oh,
I agree. Wholeheartedly.
I just can't. It just bothers me.
I had been watching him, and several people he had on, he was acting like Jeb Bush. He was kind of like knocking at him a little bit. And I thought, why wasn't he meaner? Why, or just, not even meaner, just asking normal questions, you know.
Which
make him answer.
I do have to mention, I didn't watch the interview. I just read about it.
Good.
I figure that's the hard-hitting reporting you've come to expect from a media minute.
Uh-huh.
Kendall, speaking of how old we are, a couple of things, important things, are having anniversaries this year. This is the 40th anniversary of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh.
40!
I bet they better be playing it everywhere.
They better be. It's almost, we're almost as old as it. 40?
I thought you were going to say our show.
Oh, it is almost. And, oh, we all the world, we all remember where we were when we got this 25 years ago, Madonna's original greatest hits package, the Immaculate Collection.
Her greatest hit 25 years ago.
25 years ago.
God, we're getting old.
Some fat little gay boy got it for Christmas, got it on cassette tape with the Simpsons Sing the Blues.
Wore it out.
And Bette Midler, Some People's Lives. And they had no idea he was gay. And
and he grew up and had a podcast.
And that was 25 years ago. Yeah, that's enough for this medium.
It's been like 20 minutes.
It's been like 20 damn minutes.
I hope you enjoyed it. That was a great time with Headbox.
I don't know who you're telling that you hope enjoyed it. Me or the listeners, but hopefully it was
listeners.
All of us. So. I hope you enjoyed your damn minute, Cliff.
All right, let's see. What do we got next, Cliff?
What do we got next?
What is it with me?
What is it with you? Dang.
What is it with Kendall?
What I just is begun it with to accept guy? It.
What is it with fat guy?
He's such a fat guy. Why doesn't he stop eating?
I tried.
It seems that simple. What is it with Kendall? And you have. Don't get me started on hashtag Slim Kendall, for heaven's sake.
Please, let's not get started with that.
All right, this is What Is It With Kendall? Clues in search of an answer.
Clues in search of an answer. Here we go.
And I'm going to name this in one note.
Yeah, we start wagering.
Yeah.
All right, originally intended, this thing was originally intended as a patent medicine when it was invented in the late 19th century by John Pemberton.
As a patent medicine?
Yep.
Medicine for patents?
Yeah.
The silly putty.
No, Cliff.
No?
It used to sell for 5 cents in the 1940s.
1940s, 5 cents, a diamond tiara.
No.
No?
Not even closer. It was claimed that it cured many diseases, including morphine addiction, diptesis, neuralgia, headaches, and impotence.
I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Was it Coke?
And and perfect harmony. Yes, it was Coca-Cola, Cliff.
Oh, look at me. Please only pick one. Please only pick ones I can answer in song. Thank you.
Well, I'll try.
Okay.
Let's see about this one. This character is named for a street in Portland, which in turn was named for a co-founder of Portland itself.
Couldn't be Ned Flanderino.
No.
No?
Nope. No.
His character has a rarely seen daughter, Jessica, who loves to cause mischief and manipulate people.
Oh, Lovejoy.
Yes. I thought, surely he's not going to get this in one or two.
Reverend Lovejoy.
And in the first one, you were so close with Ned Flanders.
So close, because there's a Flanders Street, too.
Oh, is there really? Mm-hmm. Oh.
And, of course, we all remember Jessica, voiced by Meryl Streep, the only woman who can seemingly make a movie every year like we want her to.
She's the only one that broke through.
I want to give it up for Meryl. Thank you.
All right, Cliff. The concept for this came while its creator was sitting on a bench in front of a merry-go-round.
Forrest Gump.
No. Cliff, it has...
And a feather landed on his head.
It has underwent many renovations and expansions since its initial opening.
Carousel.
No.
No.
Okay, it has only closed four times since it's opened. Following JFK's assassination.
Oh, Disneyland.
Yes, Disneyland.
It's a small world after all.
Well, I gave you three that pretty much were a song. You didn't sing the Simpsons theme song, but...
Dun, 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 dun.
And that's what it is with me, Cliff.
Oh, don't have a cow, Kendall. Kendall, I hope we've opened a lot of people's eyes to sexism
today. I think
today.
We have. I think we've hit so many great points.
It's there. It's just so bad. And if Meryl's the only one who can make a movie a year. And I recently I saw Grandma, the wonderful movie with Lily Tomlin.
Uh-huh.
And she's another one. Where was she in the 90s? Mm-hmm. Where was she in the 2000s?
Well, probably because she went through the phase where they're like, well, she's getting older. We don't know what to do with her. And we'll have to wait until she gets old to put her in movies.
Until she's
That's
Betty
White. That's what they do with every woman actress.
And then they can be a grandma.
Yeah, and then they're funny as the funny grandma.
Yeah. Well, people are I hope people are recognizing now. Like with her Netflix show with Jane Fonda.
Being nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah, that... She, especially, Jane Fonda is excellent, but Lily Tomlin is just, she is gold, and she should have been in a movie, starring in a movie every year the last 25 years. I know in the old Hollywood studio system, they were just worked to death, Kendall, and Judy Garland's had to pop pills just to get through the day. But damn it, they had a lot of movies. Uh-huh. I can go back and watch 600 Jimmy Stewart movies. Uh-huh. I don't even want to. He's on a horse doing something in half of them. But anyway, Kendall,
well, I'll say.
If that doesn't convince people that sexism is real and a problem we need to deal with, I don't know what will, and that's sad.
You've summed it up correctly, Cliff. It's so sad, and so is this music.
Yes.
And so is so many things, Cliff.
So many things. Gosh darn it.
Our listeners, you know what they should do?
I'll tell them what they should do.
They should listen to our show. We're on iTunes. We're on Twitter.
Yeah.
We're everywhere. We're just Google Cliff and Kendall. You'll find us.
Well, yeah, that's a good tip to tell your friends.
Tell your friends.
Kendall, we've begun to raise daughters more like sons, but few have the courage to raise our sons more like daughters.
And ain't that the truth?
Yeah, and that was said, I think I didn't copy and paste it, but I think that was, it was either Betty Friedan or Gloria Steinem.
Oh, well, both of them are great.
Both wonderful.
Cliff, excellence is the best deterrent to racism or sexism. Oprah Winfrey. I was waiting for you to guess who it was.
Oh, I know.
They switched them.
It's a quote-filled quote-a-thon today. Kendall, women complain about premenstrual syndrome, but I think of it as the only time of month that I can be myself. And that was said right after she said that about the vacuum she could ride on by Roseanne.
Good old Roseanne.
Yeah, then she went on to say, as a housewife, I feel that if the kids are still alive when my husband gets home from work, then hey, I've done my job.
I love Roseanne.
I love her.
Oh,
don't get me started on how there should have been a Roseanne movie.
Oh, yeah.
Every year for the past 30 years. But we've got all these damn Stallone movies. He's
I know.
He has an idea on the toilet one day. Let's make Rocky 17. And people are bringing in boatloads of money. Please, make this.
Make 20 more.
It's a
that makes me angry.
Fudge the world.
All right, Cliff. Take us home, please.
Listen,
down those
we gotta go march against sexism.
Uh huh. We're going right now.
Let's go.
Miss Butter Butter Turner, get the car. We're going to march against.
Thanks for listening to Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. Binge listen to more episodes at cliffandkendall.blogspot.com.